Anybody ever heard of a product called Shout? Huh? Anybody? A few more of you, I think, have. You just don't want to raise your hand. It's been around a while. They used to have an advertisement, and it said, "Shout it out." And the title of my message today is, "Time to Let Your Shout Come Out." You know, every Christian ought to have a shout in their mouth. You know, there are some situations you just got to shout your way out of it. There's sometimes you just got to shout your way out of trouble. You know, many people lose the battle because they remain silent. You know, they let the devil out-talk them. They let him have the last word. You know, if that's you, you need to get the shout back in your voice. Let the shout come out. You know, King David, he was successful, I think, because he was always talking about shouting, and the Psalms has a lot to say, like Psalms 27:6. "Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising with loud music." Psalm 95:1. I'm reading this from NLT. "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 98:4. "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy." Psalms 101. "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth." You know, shouting, you know, the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. And they were always shouting their way out, especially David. He was always shouting something. You know, maybe it's because that David got excited because of what the Lord had done for him. He began to think about all the trouble that he had brought him through. He began to think about the times God had protected him. He began to think about the victories that he had been given. Maybe he began to think about what God had provided for him and got so excited about it, he began to shout. You know, there's one place you read in there where he shouted in the streets because of a victory. When was the last time you thought about all of these things that God had done for you? If you haven't been shouting lately, you're not looking at what God is doing. Come on now. If there's no shout in your life, you haven't really realized what all Christ has already done for you. Now, some people think it's sacrilegious to shout in church. Now, stop and think about it a minute. If you had a ball game and your team won the victory, you'd have no problem standing up and giving a shout. In fact, I had no problem. I wasn't at the game. I went to one of the playoff games with my grandson and my son. But I was watching that when the Thunder won the national basketball championship, and I'm in my house, and I began to shout. Hello. Some of you did too. Don't give me that way. You know, football season's right here on top of us, and there were going to be a lot of shouting and then a lot of moaning too. But you know, let me tell you something. Jesus obtained more for us than any sports team has ever done by winning a victory. What Jesus did for us is something to shout about. You know, if there's any place you should shout, it's here in church. You know, now I realize now you're going to have somebody immediately going to say, "Now wait a minute, calm down. Well, yeah, we have those times because the Bible does say, mourn with those that mourn and weep with those that weep. So there is a time to be reverent before God. There's a time to be respectful and follow some protocol. But there's also time to shout. Now, when the Israelites faced the impossible situation, and especially this one, when God told them to possess Jericho, Joshua 6, beginning with the 7th verse, then he gave orders to the people, march around the town. The armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark and the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched front of the priests with horns, and some behind the ark with the priests, continued blowing the horns. Now, do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded, not a single word from any of you until I tell you, then shout. Now, taking the city of Jericho was an impossible situation. How are you going to take the city by this way? But God always has a strategy. It doesn't measure up to what we think, because the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. It also says that we do not understand everything. Paul says that we see through a glass darkly. In other words, we see glimpses, but we don't know the whole story. That's where our faith comes in. And that's another preaching subject, okay? Some people, though, have to realize there's a time to shout and there's a time to be silent. Some people always shout. Then some people hardly ever shout. There's a balance. There's a time for everything. That's what Ecclesiastes says. It says there's a time and a season for everything. My dad used to say, if you can't shout at home, don't shout in church. In other words, don't act one way at home and another way at church. Now, I used to tell this story about a man who would shout and dance in the church all the time. His favorite song, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do what no other power can do. One night, man, he had quite a time at church shouting. And on the way home, his wife told him, said, the son needs a new pair of shoes. The man turned angrily to his wife and said, do you think I'm made out of money? Dad said, this man could shout about rivers and mountains and stumbled over a pair of shoes. Come on now. All of us have seen people that could shout in church, but whenever they wasn't in church, they wasn't, and things wasn't going right, they didn't have a shout. I remember at that church, Farmersville, Dad Pastor, there's a man, and he would, every service on, and we sing quite a bit of the same songs, but this one song, man, if they sang that song, here he went around the altar. Round altar, round altar. And we just had one section here and a section there. And the church didn't hold but about, 120 people maybe. But man, he would have a good time. But you see him downtown the next day, and his bottom lip hanging so low, he about to step on it. He had his face looked like a mew. You could nickname him Mew, long face. One of my college buddies, that's what we called it. We all had nicknames. You know, he was called Mew. Another guy was called Frog. And they called me the Camel. That's because I run unorthodox. When I run back in those days, my feet didn't come straight up behind me. They come out like this. In fact, I'd run track. Back then, we didn't have the tarp stuff. We just had the little cinder tracks. And if it had rained, you'd run, you'd get mud behind it. But when I'm running, if the guy's on each side of me, because my feet would come out like that. Coach tried to get me, said, "Nah, this is the proper way to run. Try running that way." Well, I did. And my speed was 3 to 4 seconds slower. He said, "Forget about that. Just run." Sometimes we got to forget about everything and just shout. You know, Joshua told him to be quiet for 6 days. Now, this is my thinking. I think he told him to be quiet for 6 days and not say anything because they're marching around that city, and then somebody said, "Well, this is stupid. What are we doing this for?" You know, and all of a sudden, they begin to talk doubt and fear and everything else. So just be quiet. Sometimes you need to be quiet.
Amen.
Don't voice how you feel. Voice what you believe. Did you ever notice that some people that talk all the time, they tend to say things contrary to the Word of God, and half the time they don't even realize what they said. You go back to them and say, "Well, I didn't say that." Yeah, you did too. You know, they need to take a page from Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That was a thing that my father and my father-in-law, the two men that I stand on their shoulders. If you want to say, "Well, you're doing a pretty good job," well, it's because of those two men. And they told me, I was there with my father-in-law, associate pastor, and both of them had told me, when you're around the older ministers and you hear them talking, keep your mouth shut and your ears open. And so as a young minister, I didn't ever say much until after I started Rhema when I was 35. Then I had, you know, after about 77, I had, and 78, I had begun to travel, and I'd spoken to audiences of 10,000 or better. And then whenever I was around, I started opening my mouth. Because by that time, I went through the University of Hard Knocks as well as Bible school, and I'd learned something, and I felt I had something to say. My father-in-law said something to me one time. He said, "Son, these young guys, they think they know everything, and they don't know nothing. All they need to do is keep their mouth shut, watch, and listen, and they'll learn something." So that's what I did. Now there's a time to shout, and there's a time not to. There's a time to be quiet. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. But too many times people, they are quiet when they should be shouting, and they're shouting when they should be quiet. Come on now, I'm preaching good. I'm preaching better than I'm getting a response. Now, in the Word of God, we find many situations where the people gave a shout. Some of them gave a shout in triumph. Some of them gave a shout because they won a victory. Some gave a shout in faith. Some shouted because they were just full of joy. Some of them gave a shout just to praise God. You know, Sometimes I'll be going driving along, there ain't nobody else in the car, and I'll just say, "Praise the Lord." Not quiet, loud. Hello. Where'd I learn to do that? From a fellow that I'm named after. I've seen him do it hundreds of times, riding in the car with him. Just all of a sudden, he'd just holler out, "Praise the Lord. Glory to God." Come on now. You know, sometimes they gave a shout, like I said, just to praise God. You know, David and the children of Israel, they shouted for joy in 2 Samuel 2:15. So David and all the people of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of ram's horns. Now, the ark had been taken by the Philistines, and it was over in their camp, and they went over and got it and brought it back. Now, that's where the presence of God, you got to study this about the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and all that, and a lot of you that I'm looking out there, you've been to Rhema. If you've been to Rhema, you learned about that. But they were shouting because they had the presence of God back. Now, it was in that ark. But let me tell you something. You got the presence of God on the inside of you, so you ought to be shouting. Come on now. You know, remember Gideon? And he was called himself the least of the least. And God called him to go out and to lead these people into defeat the Midianites. And he started out with a large army. And God told him to do this, and he whittled it down. And God told him to do something else, and he whittled it down. He whittled his army down till he only had 300 men. Hello? But now, look here, Judges 7, 19 through 21. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and his 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the ram's horn and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups blew the horns and broke their jars. He had split the 300 into three groups. Now here he is. They held the blazing torches in their left hand and the horns in their right hand, and they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched all the Midianites rush around in panic, shouting as they run to escape. Now I want you to notice what happened when they began to shout. The enemy began to run. Oh, you didn't get it. When they began to shout, the enemy began to run. Some more of you got it. When they began to shout, the enemy began to take off. Sometimes you just got to shout so the enemy will run. The Israelites incorporated shouting as part of their praise when they returned to the temple, building the temple. Look at Ezra 3, 19 and 11. They come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians had destroyed. When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes, took their places to blow their trumpets, and the Levites, the descendants of Asaph, clashed their cymbals to praise the Lord as King David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they shouted and sang songs to the Lord. And he is so good and faithful. Love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord because the foundation of the temple had been laid. There, they Shout it when they saw the temple foundation. I came out to this piece of ground every day from the day they started digging out the dirt. And I would shout and praise the Lord for this building. I would shout and praise God that it was paid for. I still do the same thing about all the money that we're having to raise to refurbish this place. You've got to learn to shout when you don't feel like it. You've got to learn to shout when you do feel like it. And all the times in between. Hello? Shout when you see it. Shout when you don't see it. Shout when you're believing. Shout. Shout it out. You know, you get to thinking about it. Even the Lord himself is going to return with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, for the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the grave. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet them in the Lord, in the air. And we'll be with the Lord forevermore. If people in the Bible needed to shout, then we need to shout. Now, the voice of faith will always shout. You can't keep it quiet. Somebody said, well, shouting is emotional. Yeah, it is. But it's an emotional expression of our faith based on the promises of God. Hello. Our shout is based on what happened at Calvary. What he did at Calvary. He won a victory at Calvary. We need to realize that. He won the victory. When he said it is finished, he wasn't talking about error. He was talking about that the penalty for sin had been paid. It was finished. And that's something to shout about. You know, our shout is based on the greater one that lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Real faith, Bible faith, my dad used to say, you can have a shout all of the time if you have Bible faith and are living in line with it. There should be a shout of praise in your mouth 24/7. Come on now. I got a few people that got a hold of it. I'm talking to you about what is going to get you out of a lot of situations. Shout it out. Turn your neighbors out and don't be quiet, but be loud. Tell them, shout it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when we're in faith, we're not shouting because we can see the victory. We're shouting because we have the victory. Your friend may say, I don't see it. You say, what are you talking about? I already got it. I'm shouting a victory. I know my dad tells a story. He was preaching down in East Texas, one of them little churches back in the 40s. And this man, every night, he was come down and he was shouting and praising God every night. for his wife to be saved. He was saved, but his wife wasn't saved. And he came down every night. He was shouting. Somebody asked him, "Why are you shouting?" "I'm shouting because my wife is saved." Now, on Sunday night, when Dad used to preach that message, I went to hell. I want to tell you what. You ain't ever been in a service like that. I'm going to tell you what. When he would begin to say that, I know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If I didn't even have a Bible. And he would tell the story of how he descended down, 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 so forth and so on. Man, my hair stand up on the back of your neck. I'm in those little old churches. I've seen the windows up in the summertime, more people outside than it was inside. I've seen people crawl through the windows. I've seen people running over the benches to the altar to get saved. And so she came that night when he preached that sermon, "I Went to Hell." And she went down to get saved, and all the church was, they'd been praying for her, you know, and they were all excited and shouting, and he's just sitting there. They said, "Man, what's the matter?" He said, "I already shouted about it. It's, to me, this is old school." Come on now. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Some people wait to shout till they see it. We're supposed to shout when we don't see it, when we don't feel it. We're supposed to shout. Somebody said, "Well, how loud should you shout?" Well, shout loud enough to drown out every thought of doubt and fear. Shout loud enough that you can't hear the thoughts that the devil is trying to put in your mind. You can't afford to stay silent when you're in the battle of life. "Oh, now you got this other hand. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You know we're supposed to meditate quietly on the Word." Yeah, we are. I don't deny that, and that's part of it. But I tell you what, after you meditate on what the Word of God has to say, you ought to have a shout in your mouth. Yes, there's times that we should be quiet, but there's more times that we should shout. You know, the time to shout is when you begin to realize what God has done for you and what he's going to do for you, even though you can't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or anything else. That's when you begin to shout. Let me give you some situations where we as Christians, we need to shout. You need to shout in the middle of the trouble. Instead of moaning and groaning, begin to shout. Somebody said, "How can you shout when all of this is going on around you?" You can shout because you already know what the answer is. You need to shout when you're standing on the promises of God in faith. You need to shout when the enemy is attacking. You need to shout when you begin to think just sitting in your house thinking about what God has done for you. You need to begin to shout. When you feel depressed and sad, jump up and begin to shout the praises of God. There is power in your shout. The voice of faith is never silent. It's always shouting in victory. The voice of faith speaks and declares and shouts the promises of God in the middle of the worst circumstance, situation that you can think of. Shout it out. This morning I've come to tell you it's time to let your shout out. It's time to shout victory. It's time to shout with joy. It's time to praise God with a shout. It's sometimes you're just an answer away with a shout. A shout away from provisions that's needed. You're just a shout away from freedom that's needed. You're just a shout away from every answer And then this is just something that I want to say. Don't lose out for lack of a shout. You've not lost the bout. No need to doubt. No need to do without. Just you lift your voice and shout. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Glory to God. All right, guys, y'all better have something ready. Hallelujah. Anybody get a hold of what I'm trying to say to you today? There are too many Christians walking around with a long face, moaning and groaning because of this and because of that. Let me tell you something. As long as you're breathing God's oxygen, the devil is going to be after you. He's going to keep coming after you. And if you're going to win, you're going to have to learn to shout it out. Hallelujah.
What do you got? So I will shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of praise. Shout with the voice of triumph.
Shouted in church. Don't stumble over a pair of shoes. You get what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Let's just pause for a moment. There might be somebody here that couldn't shout with us because they don't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Or they know what it is to serve Him, but they've got off course and they need to come back and rededicate their life. If that's you in this place today, I want you to come right down here to the front. I'm going to pray with you, and you're going to be able to shout just like we were. Anybody, anywhere, just step out and come on down here right now. I'll wait on you for a moment. We'll just wait a moment. Don't let the enemy stop you from coming. If you're in here and you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life, I'm going to wait just a minute. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Father, if there happened to be one person under the sound of my voice in this building, watch it on the television, I thank you that the Spirit of God will deal with them, and they can't be satisfied doing anything till they stop and invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now remember, if you can't shout at home, don't shout in the church. And remember this, just because you had a good time shouting, the enemy's going to find out if you really, really got anything. So shout him down. Hello? Hallelujah. Hey, listen, as soon as we grab a bite, we're on the plane headed for Ohio. No, Illinois first. That's right, Illinois. Champaign, Illinois. Yeah, that's where we're going. I don't know where we're going. They just tell me to get on the plane and that you're going to be preaching. I say, okay. No, we're going to Illinois and then for 3 nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll be in Newark, Ohio. That's where we'll be. Y'all pray for the team. But hey, there'll be service here tonight and here Wednesday night, so I expect you to be here, okay? You know, sometimes because the pastor's gone, well, I can stay home. No, you can't. You'll lose your shout if you stay home. All right. They're going to sing a chorus and let the staff get to the doors to shake your hand. God bless you. And don't forget, keep your shout on. All right? Huh? Oh, first time guest. Hey, go find those first. We're so thankful to have you with us today. And like they said, welcome home. Just come on by and join us. God bless. See y'all next Sunday.
So I will shout with the voice of triumph.